Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back. 10:03, ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. John and Dell and Lance is sticking around watching dog videos.
Yeah, so. Number six most dangerous dog apparently is a Shar Pei, according to this one guy who did his own video. 15 most dangerous breed of dogs in the world. Shar Pei comes in at six. I've heard Shar Peis can be a little mean.
They're a handsome dog.
Chow Chow's in there. I've heard they're not nice.
I don't know anything about these. So you can chime in on this if you want. Cowboys over 9.5 wins has moved from -110 to -175. For those of you that are not don't know much about the gambling lingo, that means. So under over wins means the Cowboys would have to win 10 games this season for you to win the bet. And moving it from -110 to -175 is telling us that the bettors are like the Cowboys. They don't want ideally books don't want to move the number from 9.5 to 10 because that's a pretty big move, and that takes a lot. But it's telling us that a lot of people are gambling on the Cowboys this year to be a good football team. And, you know, in a lot of instances, you know, they're right. Do you see, is this a 10-win Cowboy team?
A lot of it depends on schedule. I mean, adding CeeDee Lamb helps the offense. The offensive line has to get back to it. See, I don't think the offensive line is going to be back to what it once was.
What about the change of coaches here? With
I don't know. It could be a positive.
Change in the offense?
Of course, you have that change, and you don't have the typical – there's not the typical process right now of being able to implement the same timetable and time frame. So, I think they're right there. I think they're right there at the 9.5 mark. It's hard. That's a hard call. If they can play a little better in the secondary, just a little better defensively, they're a 10-win team.
Yeah.
Just a little better.
I agree. They should have been better than they were last. They need to be better. I think they will be better. I think they win that division this year. They'll have a dogfight with the Eagles, but the other teams suck. The Bears have gone from 8.5 to 8. That's a big move now.
Oh, they've gone down?
Yeah, they've gone down. People don't believe, they don't believe in Nick Foles, for one. They certainly don't believe in Trubisky, but it's going to be Nick Foles. And I guess they just don't think that they're going to be, they're getting back. I don't know. If defensively, they'll still be strong. If they get any play out of Foles at all, we'll see. Cardinals have moved up from 6.5 to 7 wins. I think there might be a little bit too much hype just because.
Ooh, how many wins?
Seven.
Ooh, in that division?
Yeah.
Yikes, that's a high number when you're facing Seattle twice, San Francisco twice, and even the Rams twice.
Right. Those are going to be dogfights.
And Kyler Murray's not catching anybody. Although, you know, it also happens where guys get better their second year.
It'll be interesting. I think the Cardinals are I think they're going to be a fun team to watch.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I need to break in with this story. An unnamed NFL player filed a lawsuit against United Airlines on Wednesday. What do you think for, John?
They took his weed.
Alleging the company failed to properly. Now, what do you... I'm giving you a guess.
Properly... hold his weed.
Properly respond to.
Properly respond to COVID-19 regulations.
That's a good guess. That was the favorite. But no. Failed to properly respond to his reporting of sexual assault and harassment during a February 10th flight from LA to Newark, New Jersey. It's a long one. Bleacher Report's master. I don't know how to say his last name. Tesfatish. Well, they call him Master T. Master Tesfatishin reported the player, who's listed in the complaint as John Doe 1, filed the suit in coordination with another male passenger, John Doe 2. They allege four complaints were made against a female passenger sitting in the same row for unwanted sexual advances before flight attendants moved her. The NFL player does not wish to release his identity. He filed the lawsuit under John Doe 1 with another man, John Doe 2, sitting in the row with similar claims. Both men are described as African-American males. The woman is described as a middle-aged Caucasian female. The unidentified player and John Doe, too, are seeking compensatory and punitive damages.
So this middle-aged, by middle-aged, what are we talking here? 45, 50?
It doesn't say.
40s? Trying to, this cougar trying to hit on NFL players.
Well, here's what the lawsuit says. We bring the lawsuit with the hope that it will be one of the last of its kind. Our wish would be in the future, no passengers, multiple warnings and complaints to flight attendants, the onboard authority figures will go unheeded until it's too late and the damage has been done. The matter is unfortunately based on several instances of assault, physical, sexual, and verbal, on a Red Eye United Airlines flight. Instances that could have been prevented if not the harm reduced. In-flight sexual assaults continue to be an ongoing problem during commercial flights, particularly during red-eye flights. In 2018, this is part of the lawsuit, the FBI issued strict warnings to airlines, including United, about the number of sexual assaults increasing. The matter is about accountability, not just from United, but the assailant as well. Those with a duty to others should be held accountable for their failures to uphold the responsibilities. Those who report assault should not be ignored, but believed, their claims investigated, and the appropriate action taken where warranted. Our goal is to shine a light on how assaults can and are being made on men and not just women. This is significant because assault is assault, regardless of the gender, race, and physical attributes of the victims. Once the characteristics are added into the equation, the usual stigma and social stereotypes associated with sexual assaults are amplified. At this time, we ask the public to respect our client's privacy and anonymity as we move forward with litigation. Mm. Now, what's interesting to me is obviously in our typical fashion as men, we hear this and we're like, what? Sexual assault? And you're a football player. And somebody physically and verbally, and it even says they ended up moving the lady, but I don't know all that went on. I don't know, but you know, as you read it, as I read that lawsuit at the end, it kind of spelled it out. Assault is assault, and no matter what their physical, you know, what it's basically saying is, look, it sounds like the lawsuit's saying we're not going to have it just one way. A sexual assault, as it has been defined very clearly over the last few years, we are going to play by those same rules all the way around, and we are going to hold the airlines responsible for not heeding. And what they're saying is you don't have a case against an airline if somebody acts that way. You have a case if they don't do anything about it and they're asked to investigate. So this is going to be very, very interesting to see what comes of this.
So she was, wait, physical?
It said, I'm just, verbal, I read it to you, it said physical,
verbal
and sexual.
And sexual. Assault on these players.
So the
And they wouldn't move her.
I guess not.
Until
initially.
It was too late.
So I guess we're to assume that she would have grabbed them or touched them in a place.
Grabbed or touched is what that's going to be. Okay. And listen, if you did that to a woman,
yeah, it's over. Yeah, well, it should assault. Be over for you, and much it should be the same way, going the other way.
Yeah, not yeah, that, yeah. No, it should be.
I don't want to get into this whole, well, men get assaulted too, but in this case, it happened, and, well, at least according to the lawsuit, yeah, it happened. So if it's found to be the true, then she should be punished.
The
and
matter
the
is
airline too.
Based on several instances of assault, physical, sexual, and verbal. So if they define sexual, and you mentioned physical, maybe she... she hit one of them? I don't know. And verbal? Yeah. We just don't have enough information.
And I guess that'll come out.
We just don't have enough information to try this in the court of public opinion.
It's unfortunate. I need the names of the players, the names of the woman. Yep. I have to go through their Twitter.
I'm going to need their Twitter feed so I find out whether or not I believe them in their Instagram pictures.
Do you need a picture of this woman to decide whether it was assault or not?
Well, right. How can you decide whether if she's hot, then what?
Well, the players...
Literally the nightmare scenario for this segment.
Well, the players have said it was assault, so I don't think her level of attractiveness mattered to them, at least. You know, the alleged victims. So maybe... John, do you think these players would have had a different view of things if they found her attractive?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're
setting
not attractive.
You up, John.
No. I asked a question. That's
maybe
all.
They're not attracted to women. I don't know.
That's another thing. We don't know the sexuality of the players. But either way, track the man, track the woman. If someone who you don't know on an airline touches you in a place you weren't expecting to be touched, maybe your sexual proclivities don't matter in that case. That's a stranger doing something you don't want them to do.
Yeah, but I got to see a picture.
Oh, there it is.
Before I can make a decision.
Well, stranger danger is not good, John.
Unless she's attractive, right, John?
John's got different rules.
Yeah, for him, obviously, this is a married man. He's talking if he was single.
Yeah, obviously. Right.
And he was on a flight, and an attractive woman. Would she have to ask you first, John, or if she just went and grabbed, would you have a problem?
This feels like the Gilbert bike thing all over again.
Why? He's not Gilbert. He can answer
questions.
John
feels like the Gilbert, and this case feels like the bike.
No, I asked the man a question. Would she have had to ask first, John, if you were, let's say, single, in your 20s, whatever, professional athlete? And would she have to ask before she attempted something, or could she have just grabbed?
What'd she look like?
I'm saying you find her attractive.
Just because you say it softer doesn't mean people can't hear you.
No, you're still speaking into a microphone. Even if you're at home, it's still a mic that broadcasts.
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay, you're not sure.
Yeah, I can't answer that right now.
Somebody's in the kitchen.
She can't hear me. She can't hear the question.
That's a tough call. Look, you'd have to ask. You got to go back and ask 20-year-old John Granato.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, I already know the answer.
Like, yeah. So 20-year-old John Granato has a different answer.
Let's put it in play. Attractive. You're single. You wouldn't be hurting anybody.
Hold on a second, Dell. Didn't Sexy Granny first start with you, if I remember correctly? Didn't you have a little dalliance with Sexy Granny back in the day?
Who?
You.
I think Sexy Granny started with you.
Then it got thrown onto me. So if, I guess 20-year-old or 20-something-year-old Granato doesn't matter, mind if she didn't ask first?
Yeah.
Okay.
What the hell?
Okay.
Yeah, what the hell?
Stuff happens. Got to the bottom of it. That's all.
Listen, stuff happens. 10-16 ESPN 97.5. Yeah, I got the percentages of quarterbacks that were Super Bowl winning quarterbacks and what percentages. So this Deshaun deal is going to be kind of a big deal. Okay, when you hear the percentages of the cap that the quarterbacks took up for the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, it's kind of surprising. I will do that on the other side. 10-17.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back. We were talking about, you know, with Deshaun, when he comes up here and he takes up, you know, Russell Westbrook at $36 million, taking up about 18% of his team's salary cap right now at $36 million. Deshaun at 40, and if it goes down from $200 million salary cap to $150 million, holy crap, and Deshaun's getting $40 million a year? I mean, that's a huge chunk. Here are the Super Bowl winning quarter. Last year, Pat Mahomes took up 3%. Tom Brady's the highest over the last, I don't know, 15 years? He took up 13% of his cap twice in 18 and 14, 10% of his team's cap in 16. Nick Foles was just 1%. Peyton Manning, 12% when he was with the Broncos. He was 11% when he was with the Colts, Lance. He was just 11%. So that's kind of a – actually, Brady was the highest at 13%. Peyton Manning was 12%. Eli was 12% in his second Super Bowl. Eli was 11% in the first Super Bowl win. Ben Roethlisberger was just 6% when he won the first time, 7% when he won the second time. So this Peyton Manning thing took up a big portion of their salary cap is incorrect. It was just 12%, 11% when he was with the Colts in 2006. Russell Wilson was just 1%. Aaron Rodgers was just 4%. Breeze, 9%. So you gotta keep that quarterback. Actually, winning it on the quarterback's first contract is almost crucial.
There are two things working against this current configuration of the Texans ever winning big. Raheel did the RIP to Raheel. Raheel did the research about coaches and how and. If you're not winning it within a certain amount of time with that team, you're not going to win it. Now, Andy Reid kind of broke the mold there certainly last year. And then you add the money that's going to be paid to Deshaun over the next 12 months or so. It doesn't seem like they are doing it in the best possible way to win. Because when he gets paid, how do you keep the rest of the team together? Not that I see a lot on the roster that I would be worried about losing, but they would feel a different way about it. And how do you bring in quality players when you have to trust? Then you have to trust your draft. And we know he doesn't care all that much about picks. At least when it appears veterans that he likes are on the table. So they're not built the right way right now. And the future says, unless something remarkable happens, they're not going to win. Not big.
Yeah. No. No. Listen, there's nothing that says they're going to win big. And nothing about this team says that they're going to win big. But it's going to make it even more difficult when Deshaun is eating up that big chunk. And then Laramie Tunsil's making his 20. And Whitney, Merciless, and Blob, and on and on and on. And Cobb, and Cook's money, and David Johnson money, and Fuller money. Fuller's got to get paid too, you know. Fuller's going
to
get paid too.
He doesn't have to get paid here. In fact, he should
guess what's
get gonna paid
happen.
Here.
No, he practices hard, Dell. It doesn't matter if he's on the field ever. He practices
There's
hard.
There's far too much money invested into the wide receiver position. Now, I know you can get out of it, certainly with Kenny Stills, if you want to trade him. And there are ways the Brandon Cooks thing doesn't become an albatross for you. But there's too much money invested in a wide receiver core where you don't have a pro bowler, or at least a current pro bowler, in the mix. Now, Brandon Cooks has that pedigree, and who knows what Will Fuller will be. There's too much money there. You can't be giving that much money to that one position.
Yeah, no. I mean, the way that they've structured their money positionally, it's horrific. It's horrific.
I mean, now they're paying elite positions, elite money,
but they don't have elite players.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Whitney Mercilus is not an elite player anymore. JJ, he's a good player if he can stay on the field and get through a year. But I don't know if he's an elite player anymore. We'll see. And obviously Deshaun is rising. But even Deshaun isn't exactly there, but he's going to get paid elite money. And Laramie Tunsil's the one guy you can say, okay, you're probably playing an elite position player, elite money, but you're far exceeding anybody else at that position in terms of money. They're built wrong. Their future looks out of whack. But, hey, at least you got a division winner as your head coach.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
So, what do you want? Do you want division championships or not?
That's the first step to winning it all. You certainly need to win division titles.
You answered your own question.
Well, I didn't actually ask the question. You did.
Oh, that's right. You answered my own
question. You answered your own question.
You answered my question. Yes, that's exactly. That's the first step. How can you get to the Super Bowl if you're not winning your division?
Well, other teams have done it before.
Well, as a wild card. Right?
You have to make the playoffs. Yes.
And what does Bill O'Brien do? He wins.
Yes.
Win, 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 win. That's what we do.
He wins to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And currently they're not built to get beyond that level.
Hey, it looks like a week from today we're going to all be back in studio. Did you see that?
I did see that. Our fearless leader emailed us and tell us that everyone back in studio, maybe a little bit earlier than certainly June. Now we have Memorial Day holiday, so we'll all be back on Tuesday. I think the producer schedule is about probably going to get back to what it was previously. So, yeah, things are getting back to normal. I saw a gym opened up. I think it looked like they're open, not the one near here. 24 wasn't open, but like this Fitness Connection on the way to 45, they look like they're open, I think. So slowly but surely, things are coming back to normal.
The gym in our building has opened up.
Yeah. So yeah. Things are changing. So,
yep, things are getting – let's see. Let's see what happens now.
And I saw a report more concerning – was more along sports-related stuff that South Korea, there's a report, or at least they're doing some research and saying that once infected, you are incapable of infecting someone else with the virus. Like once you get it the first time and make it through, you can't get it again, according to this particular research. And we know there's all these different type of studies, and you certainly can't pass it on to others. So that would certainly be something where you think about, hey, if you get the corona and you're out for, I don't know, 2 weeks with sports, you can come back and not worry about getting it again. Pro Football Talk was suggesting, will players try to infect themselves before the year? So if this study was real or true, so they don't miss any real time, I don't know. But it's been some momentum as far as the country somewhat getting back to normal, and even some positivity about research. And obviously with our concern about sports, things might be going in the right direction. Of course, baseball will be the one that's, you know, to trap their D in the door and screw it up for themselves.
Right. Well, yeah, and I just saw a report that said, you know, if you get the virus in the NFL, you're gone. But we're not canceling the league.
We talked about this. You can't start this assuming that no one's going to get it. That's a poor way to plan. You have to put protocols in place that people will get it, but we will continue to play ball.
Yeah, but this kind of day, you're playing a dangerous game to infect yourself so you won't get infected again. Because you get permanent damage, lung damage.
Yeah, I wouldn't advise it, but I mean, if you, I guess it's really one of those questions where you ask, would you infect yourself knowing you're a healthy person if you know you don't have pre-existing conditions because you don't want to miss 2 weeks of the regular season or a playoff run? That was just a suggestion by Pro Football Talk of a theory that might take place. I don't think players are going to do that. But it would be interesting if that study was proven to be true, that you can't get it again and you can't infect anybody once you have it and make it through. Would you take that chance? I don't see it happening though.
No, I don't either. But the preseason schedule just came out. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. I've got to talk about being a champion. Champion energy. Listen. I've been telling you about this. For 10 years now. It's been a decade that I've been touting Champion Energy because it's silly. It's the best. It's silly for you to pay more. I need you to please, please go to champion.energy/1560 and start saving money. Say, well, you know what? I'm probably okay where I am. You're not. You're just not. You, my friends, have to go to champion.energy/1560 and save money. It's ridiculous to spend more for your electricity than you have to. Champion.energy/1560.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, Dell, tell that. June 8th, Ohio State's back.
Yeah, 24/7, they're the Ohio State branch of that. I think they call themselves Bucknuts. One of their reporters is saying that it's not officially announced yet, but on good authority that Ohio State's football players will be back reporting June 8th. They'll be on campus working out and stuff June 8th. So another spoke in the wheel as we get closer and closer to what looks like a football season. And the Pac-12, they're operating as if they're putting things in place to, you know, be prepared to play as well, which is the one particular conference people were concerned about, maybe mostly because of the California schools and Gavin Newsom, their governor, talking about, at least earlier, about how he didn't expect sports back, really. But he came out, I guess, either yesterday or the day before, saying pro sports can start back in California at the end of May, which opens up the NBA coming back and possibly baseball. So Pac-12 may not have those concerns in L.A. So, I mean, it feels like you start to see momentum when you see other leagues getting going and the money that will be lost. And if the European League continue to go, Germany had their first weekend and it doesn't appear any setbacks in that regard, I think it'll be a different way we look at sports because maybe the lack of fans, but I think it's going to happen.
Yeah. No. I listen, every college person that I've talked to, every college football guy that I've talked to, they're playing. And college football is going to play with or without students, with or without fans in the stands. They're from everything I'm gleaning from college, and they want to take advantage of the possibility that the NFL starts late. The Texans came out with their preseason schedule. Their first game is at Minnesota on Friday, August 14th. Then Saturday, the Seahawks come here. The next Saturday, the 29th, the Saints come here. The Texans go to the Saints, and then on Thursday, September 3rd, the Cowboys. I don't know that the preseason is going to happen.
I would be honestly surprised.
I would be really surprised.
If that goes off without any problems. I imagine at some point, particularly if teams are trickling in at different times and there is no set time to report, that they just say, hey, we know you guys don't really like the preseason anyway. At least...
Well, here's the deal, is the owners make a boatload of money because they don't start the players' paychecks until the regular season. Yeah. They, you know, they get a limited amount of money, even for your stars, they play the preseason for a lot less. So that's a moneymaker for the owners, but the money-making thing is having the fans in the stands.
Yeah.
And if these initial games you're not going to have fans in the stands, then what's the sense of having these games at all? Plus the danger of teams traveling, hotels, airplanes, you know, there's no way you're going to be able to spread these guys out. That's you're just putting everybody more in harm's way. So I just don't know. What's the sense? Would the sense be of having a preseason?
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense other than, you know, they're potentially losing a lot of money. But you, as you pointed out, there won't be people there most likely. I was thinking about that as far as the NBA is concerned. Now, the NBA has the bubble idea. If you just started with the playoffs, which is something they're trying to avoid because there are TV contracts you need to fulfill. If you just started with the playoffs, what would be – I know there are issues, but now you only have 16 sites as opposed to – and everyone's set in where they're going back and forth. Like, for example, the Rockets. I don't know who their first-round opponent would be at this point, but I haven't looked at the standings in a bit. Let's say the Rockets are playing the Thunder in the first round. So you know these people are going back between OKC and Houston, and that's the only place this plane is going to go, chartered for the 2 weeks, possibly for a series for each plane. Could you possibly, if you started just with the playoffs, have them in home cities since you are reducing the number of variables as far as transportation?
Could you possibly what?
Just have, if you just start with the playoffs, so teams aren't traveling to, and different teams aren't using different planes, you just, all right, these planes are for the Rockets in this playoff series. This is the plane for OKC. Could you have the playoffs in home cities if you just started the season with the resumption of the season with the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know that the NBA is going to do that, but yeah, I would think that you could do that since all of these other. See, but nobody is actually – well, baseball is. Baseball is moving teams around. They're in a limited number of places in your own division and probably the division that corresponds in the other league. But you're going to be playing games relatively soon in other cities. And, you know, they've asked to put two planes aside for every team, so that it's just for them, those teams. Whether or not the airlines are going to do that, I don't know. But Yeah, you could do that. If baseball is going to do it, why can't basketball?
Yeah, I know the bubble stuff is quite a bit about the regular season and having all 30 teams in play. So you want to limit exposure. But if you're just having the playoffs and maybe you shorten them to a five-game series, first round, whatever you need to do.
What's the difference if you have it at a home place if there's no fans in the stands?
That was my thought. I just think they wanted to limit the access to the players and everybody who's involved with the team, because if you're at home, then you are with your family. Who knows what your family is doing? And so that's why the whole bubble thing was put into place to limit exposure. But I just, at this point, if you just start with the postseason, I think you could do the whole home and away. Maybe you have to sequester people in hotels. Maybe the same way you had the bubble city. Maybe you sequester teams in hotels and they don't. It's more like training camp instead of going home, but they're still in the city, and you do it that way.
Yeah, keeping people away from their families.
I know that's the hard part, but they were going to do that with the bubble city, so you don't subject as many people to that because it's not the regular season. You're not doing it to 30 teams. You're doing it to 16, and maybe
here's the problem with just starting with the playoffs, though, is that. Yeah, is it? I guess, you know what? The other teams don't deserve to be there. The other 14 teams don't deserve to be in the playoffs. But, you know, you're not getting your money from the television contracts unless you hit 75 games.
Oh.
So you've got a good 10 games, 11 games to go.
Yeah, I know. They've got those concerns. So maybe you do the bubble city for the rest of the number of regular season games you need and then switch to this worked out for us with the bubble. Then we moved to home and home for the playoffs. Just to add some normalcy to the proceedings, because I know people are talking about is it a real champion if you are doing this type of deal? But if you play the games in Milwaukee and Houston and OKC, even if there are no fans, I think it does make it feel more like, okay, there are no fans, but this feels like NBA basketball instead of AAU basketball in the playoffs.
It does. Yeah, it absolutely does. It makes it looks like the Vegas League. It'll, you know, the summer league. I don't know. I think basketball is going to have the hardest time with this. Baseball will look like itself. Basketball will look like a scrimmage.
Yeah, the aesthetics of playing in Orlando and deciding an NBA champion at the Disney World of Sports is just going to look weird. You're hoisting a trophy in a strange environment with no fans. It looks weird, and I just figure if you're doing it with no fans, but you can do it at a home site, and let's say, I don't know, Milwaukee finally wins their first title, at least, and if it happens, not their first title, but the wins a title, and it happens in a game 7 in Milwaukee, I think that adds a bit to it. Then, oh look, Giannis and Chris Middleton won a title in Orlando.
So then are we going to have a parade with everybody?
I don't know. That's up to Milwaukee, the city in the state of Wisconsin.
I mean, the state of Wisconsin is back normal. State of Wisconsin opened up everything, and there's no restrictions. My buddy owns a bar up there in Green Bay. He's like, my bar's open. We had 100 people in it the first night. We'll find out how this works.
Yeah, we'll find. And I guess you're allowing private businesses to do that because I don't know if the city will be like, or the state will be like, yeah, hey, can you congregate 200,000 people in one spot? Yeah. I don't know if they'll rubber stamp that, but hey, if they're letting private businesses, we'll see how it works out. I just don't know if you can't even hold a 20,000 person gathering in a game 6 or 7. I don't know if you in the next couple days have a 200,000 people event for a parade.
Right. All right, News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5. Then we'll throw it to the press box after that. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, 1046 ESPN 97.5. Where'd you see that story, Del?
Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer is reporting that downtown Houston is being, obviously Toyota Center, is being weighed in other places. It's being weighed as a potential neutral site location to host NBA games. Disney and Las Vegas remain the favorites, but Houston has the facilities needed with the Rockets home arena, Toyota Center, neighboring a convention center. So I guess they would convert the convention center into an arena to play ball. So apparently Houston is another place on the list for bubble cities. Although, I don't know how you isolate in downtown, but apparently Houston's in the running.
Nice. Nice. Do you want underwear with Governor Cuomo's or Gavin Newsom's or,
no,
or Fauci's
don't
name
finish.
On them?
No, I don't want underwear with men images or names on them.
Well, that's what's happening. They're putting there's a Canava is putting Fauci, Cuomo, and Newsom, their names on their underwear. I mean, the women are buying this stuff up.
Oh, they're considered handsome men.
And is Cuomo very is he attractive to you?
I mean, I'm not appalled by him, but I don't think of him as attractive just because I'm not attracted to men. Cuomo could be a guy you see if he appeared as the governor in a TV show, like, oh, governor, whatever. I could buy it. Oh, and that's not a hideous individual, but yeah. I'm not attracted to him. Newsom's the same. You would buy them as a TV governor someplace.
Yeah. Yeah, I could. Yeah, you could see where he'd be. Yeah, be an actor. Oh, he's handsome. Oh, he's handsome, so he must be the governor.
Yeah.
And then Fauci, he's an Italian hero, is what he is.
And
he
is. and Gavin Newsom was married to Kimberly Guilfoyle, the Fox, former Fox News personality.
Wow, good for him.
She's
he
now
did well.
I don't. She's now with some famous person. Is she one of the Trump brothers or something? I don't remember who
she's
with.
Yes. Yeah. She's with. Is she? No. She's with.
With Eric's married, right? So it's Don Jr. Don Jr. I think she's with.
I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah, she was always, good to watch on that show.
What do you mean? You mean informative and entertaining?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah, she was informative and entertaining.
I have to take your word for it. I never watched her on Fox News.
Yeah. It's on whatever. So, speaking of underwear, a 7-year-old girl broke the dress code at her school. And so what they did was they forced her to spend the day in her underwear.
Someone getting fired?
Somebody should get fired.
Someone has to get fired. Where was this?
This was in, it has to be in London.
Why? That sounds like an American thing to do.
It's not. I don't know. It doesn't say where it is, actually. Anyway, so yeah, the mom says, I saw other kids were laughing at her. Yeah, because your daughter's walking around in her underwear all day.
Yeah, that's going to get laughs.
People are just too stupid to be running schools anymore.
Well, every time you do a story like this, that is kind of your takeaway. Yeah, dumb. Yeah. Now, it's not for all schools, but dumb people are in charge of things. I mean, we know this to be the case, and they're in charge. That doesn't keep them from being in charge of schools too. And you got to be really stupid not to think that's going to come back on you. And what is the upshot of forcing a little kid to walk around in their underwear at school? What's the most positive thing that could happen?
Don't break the dress code anymore.
Well, don't you use?
Do you think she's going to do that again?
That is an improper deterrent.
But apparently not. She's going to remember this lesson for the rest of her life.
Yeah, that is what a school is there for, to scar a child for the rest of their lives.
Well, she's going to remember it because that's the day she got all the teachers fired.
that might be part of it too, yeah.
Yep. A man drinking, I'm looking at a guy doing an interview in England. He's at Brighton Beach. He's holding a beer and he's out there with all these people. He looks pretty suntan. And he says, man, these lockdown measures need to be stricter. What?
Well, then what? He doesn't want – look, they're going to let me be at the beach, I'll do it. But really, this shouldn't be the case. Is that what his theory is?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
The guy is drunk.
Yeah, he is saying that this is the perfect spokesman for we need stricter regulations. Tan guy, sweater tied around his neck, and he is and he's got a beer in his hand. We need some stricter
look,
stricter rules.
I love my
here.
Freedoms, and as long as they're available to me, I will take advantage. But honestly, this is a mistake.
Yeah, this sucks, y'all. So, did you see the new face mask with the hole in it so you could eat?
Seems like something that will be ineffective.
There is a lever that you squeeze and it opens up the mouth, and it's a face mask, and it's got it's tied to the attachment, and you squeeze the lever and it opens up the mouth of your face mask, and so you can eat with your right hand and squeeze with your left. This appears to me.
Are
what do you think
so
this is really
going
to be used for, Dell? In upcoming episodes.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be used on Pornhub or something.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm sure it will be. Are people so lazy that if you're wearing a face mask because you want to be responsible, that you just can't pull it up or pull it down to eat? And then why do you need innovation? I mean, I know why the NFL is doing it, the potential of an N95 mask attached to your face mask so they can play football. I get why they are trying it. But why do you need to do it when you're eating?
Well, because in case you're around other people, well, you're opening up the place anyway that you're going to be catching. But it might, if someone coughs and spits on you while you're eating,
what?
It might actually be caught by some of the face mask as opposed to the opening now.
All right.
So there's that.
Mm. I feel like you're already opening yourself up to it anyway. You might as well. You lift, and if someone's near you, chew with while you pull the face mask down. All I'm saying.
Yeah.
I wonder how much this particular innovation cost. Like, how much testing, and how much did it cost? How many man hours? How much in terms of investing did it take to get that done?
Right. I mean, we're putting all that kind of time into that, dude. You ain't making no money off this.
Hey, look.
Okay.
Look what I did. Face mask on. I want to take a bite. Lift it up. Then I lift it back down after I take my bite. I feel like that's the solution. As opposed to having that big gaping hole in the middle of your mask where people think about doing stuff to that area.
Right.
Shout out to Pornhub.
So a pizza restaurant bought its own pizza and made money on it.
Of course.
The pizza that he charged $24 for was being advertised for $16 on DoorDash. So the owner of the restaurant ordered it himself and paid $16 and then got $24 from the app.
Huh. So explain it. The pizza is being advertised by the owner for $16. If you order through DoorDash.
DoorDash, the owner's charging $24, but
okay.
DoorDash was as part of a trial to gauge customer demand, was only charging $16.
Okay.
So he made money buying his own pizza. Genius.
How many pizzas did he buy?
I have no idea. Did you see Ron Jeremy's back in the news? He's fighting to save a tree outside his childhood home in Queens.
Yeah, and he was tweeting about a tree and people thought he was talking about a different appendage, like he was trying to be clever.
Right.
He's a tree hugger. He's got his. I saw the picture. He's
literally a tree hugger.
Back to the tree, but right. And hugging it. Did he chain himself to the tree?
I don't know that, but he is hugging it. How does that feel, Ron? After all the women you did that to, how's that feel?
I don't want to even think about it. To be honest with you, I've never seen a Ron Jeremy movie. Thankfully, I know he's the legend of that particular industry and. You know the jokes about it, but I've never seen it. Him or it, thankfully. So it could all be a myth.
It all could be. 10:56, we're done. It's the Press Box next right here on ESPN 97.5. You all have a great day.